As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, welcome in. Dom Giordano Show. Got a great money melody. At least I've been told that today for a nice prize. We'll have that going on. Yesterday, we had, and let's face it, it was entertaining at one point in addition to serious, a lot of talk about the guy in El Salvador, from El Salvador, the bull's hat, the horns, Jesse Waters talking about that the other night. Maybe he went too far, maybe he didn't, as a sign of affiliation with MS-13, where he was picked up in a sweep around that, among other things. And again, he's not from Maryland. He's from El Salvador. He's got a lot of baggage. Democrats are all out on this, banking a lot that they can tie this to making America believe that we are becoming under the thumb of a dictator, authoritarianism. You've heard all that as this guy as the face of it. All right, joining us to break down some of this stuff around these gangs is Simon Hankinson, Senior Research Fellow in the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Great Heritage Foundation. Simon, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Well, Simon, you know, we talked about this, how random it was, this guy in Maryland with a bull's hat on, et cetera. And then we started to see some of the situation of what MS-13 does with him. Give us a sense, your analysis of MS-13 and the guy we're talking about.
MS-13 is a pretty horrific gang. They were formed, as I remember, by Salvadorans who were in the United States and then were deported back to El Salvador for being here illegally and often being involved in crime. And they formed this gang. And then when they got back to the States, they recruited new members, and they have now become a real fixture in our country in, you know, pimping and drugs and robberies and all the things that gangs do. In their native El Salvador, interestingly, they've been almost wiped out because the president there, Nayib Bukele, decided to take the streets back and his country back from the gangs that were pretty much running it. And he created this giant mega prison and arrested an awful lot of young men with multiple tattoos and gang records and locked them up. So the murder rate in El Salvador has basically gone back to levels below the United States or Western Europe. And, you know, when you read about this guy in the press, you're generally going to read, unless it's a conservative media, that, you know, he's a poster child, you know, family man with three kids, never done anything wrong. And, you know, he was never in any gang. They've never proved it. And he's a hardworking guy. And he was, you know, fleeing violence in his home country and so on. But if you scratch the surface and look at his record a little more closely, it seems a lot more credible that he was a member of MS-13.
The Bulls part of this, and again, we had a producer or two here that were skeptical in the beginning. You know, some people like Jordan. They like that type of stuff. But the Bulls hat with the horns and where this guy was in Maryland to be connected with wearing that seemed a little bit odd. And ICE actually named one of their raids, one of their big raids, Raging Bull or Raging Bulls. So is there that kind of connection, the headgear?
Well, you know, I want to be careful how I phrase this, but, you know, these guys are not the most sophisticated individuals, and they sometimes latch on to, you know, sports teams or memes or particular kinds of tattoos or words that are, you know, little codes, just like, you know, middle schoolers do. And so I have no doubt that there's probably symbolism in, you know, certain kinds of sports gear or hats or clothes and definitely, to tattoos. But there was more to it than that with him. As I understand it, he was, adjudicated, an immigration judge was presented evidence by the government that he believed was credible, indicating that this guy was a member of MS-13. And then it went to an appeal. In that appeal process, the Board of Immigration Appeals said, yeah, we also believe that evidence is realistic. And then when he was arrested, reportedly he was arrested in the company of other members, of members of MS-13.
Right.
So, like, you know, how much of this is a coincidence? Is it just like a total coincidence that he happens to hang around gang members and that he happens to have been identified? Yes, I guess it could all be one big misunderstanding. But, you know, that's not something that they were required to prove in order to deport him in the first place. And he did have a lawful order of removal because he'd been here illegally for 10 years.
Yes, that's the bottom line on this. He's already had his day in court multiple times. And according to Simon, some sheriffs, they had gotten him on other things. One case may have even been human trafficking. But when ICE and also the state of Maryland is a sanctuary state, essentially, that's why he remained. That's their argument. There's a whole trail of people that know this guy.
Yeah, I mean, there was a charge of I think he had a restraining order put out by his I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend or the mother of his children for abuse. And then there was an indication he was arrested and I don't know if he was charged with, but implicated in trafficking of illegal immigrants. You know, the guy's a bit of a rap sheet. And, you know, he went through he had his process. And if you look at the claim, if you read the actual court documents, you know, anyone who's been in immigration, as I have, and people who've actually been immigration judges, as my friend Art Arthur over at the Center for Immigration Studies will say, it looks like, you know, a pretty cut and paste case for protection. Now, he was supposed to claim asylum within a year of arriving in the U.S. if he was going to claim asylum. He didn't do that. So he claimed a different kind of protection from being sent to one country, El Salvador, on the basis that he belonged to one gang, and then there's another gang that was out to get him and out to get his family. Actually, I don't think he admitted that he was part of that gang. But now, of course, El Salvador has cleaned up the gangs, and the streets and cities are safer than they've ever been. So that claim probably wouldn't have worked today. And if you read it, you know, like I say, this could really apply or could be this claim could be made by almost anybody coming out of El Salvador back in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely right. Senior Research Fellow, the Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation, Simon Hankinson. So, Simon, border shut very tight. Trump delivering on this, some of the best approval ratings he has is around this. Give us a sense. We see some polling that Americans at some point do want to deport more people rather than fewer. Even CNN reporting that. What's your sense of that? Would Americans really go for that once we get past this wave of outright criminals?
That's a really good question. It's a political question, I guess. You know, what's the fatigue level? I think that we all got really, really tired of watching for 4 years You know, 10, 11, 12 million people walk into the country. And I was down there at the border four times on the southern border. And I would go out and watch people literally walk into the United States. And then a couple days later, they were released. No criminal background check, no idea who they really were. And, you know, no country should be accepting that level of risk. It's insane. So I think there's a definite public support. Obviously, we're a polarized country, so it's not, you know, 90%. It's more, you know, 50%+. But there's public support for enforcing the law, for carrying out the deportations that are ordered by judges. There's 1.3 million people in this country who have already had their entire due process and been given. Yeah. So, I mean, it would take us a couple of years to get through them. So I say, let's start there and get the most dangerous ones and kind of work our way down the list. I don't think we need to worry about the public support for a while.
Absolutely. Simon, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Simon Hankinson here. And that's right. We forget about that 1.3 million who've already had every due process you can imagine. So will Democrats continue? Yes, there's going to be the spectacle of Cory Booker, the Murphy guy from Connecticut, others that are trying to scramble toward the top of the potential nominee chain, saying they're sticking up for this. There will be some energy on their side. They have people that actually believe this, and they're going to continue to go to El Salvador. Meanwhile, you're going to see people out there, at least in certain media outlets like Fox or here versus CNN, MSNBC, like Ms. Morin yesterday, the mom of Rachel Morin. And we played you once, so we don't have to play it again. The brutality of how she was raped and killed. You're going to see that play out. And Americans are going to say, you know what? Stop it already. We're tired of this. It's going to be a long time before we get to just mass deportation. 1.3 million already have their orders. That's the next place to go. All right, though, but right now, it is time, as always, right around this time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
All right, we're playing for a pair of Fandango movie codes to see The Amateur from 20th Century Studios, rated R, only in theaters and IMAX. The Amateur is an all-new espionage thriller from 20th Century Studios, starring Oscar winner Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Academy Award nominee Lawrence Fishburne, Matrix. That's where I'm going to
Aquila and the B.
All right, yes. All right, what's the background?
Don, today we're talking exotic, right? Exotic people,
yes.
Places. Where,
right.
When I think of an exotic place, a voice comes to mind. I don't want to tell the place. It might be too obvious. But an exotic voice from an exotic place, I thought none other than this guy. A guy who's very well known for singing a specific genre of music. Actually, the king of his specific genre. But this isn't the genre that we're playing today, Dom. No, this is actually, before he switched into that genre, he was singing with his band that he was famous with when he switched genres. A different kind of style of music. A little bit. But here he is covering Dion, Don. And we want to know who it is today singing the song known for having an exotic voice. Take a listen.
Why must I be a...
go. Dom, a legend, the king of his own genre there, covering some Dion. We want to know who it is covering that song.
All right, hit us right now at 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push pound 1210.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That's exactly right. All right, here's today's clue. Who is covering this song?
A king of his genre, Dom.
I have no clue on this one, and
yeah.
I don't know. So
exotic
go,
singer.
Let's see how we go. Yeah. Sandy in Wilmington. Sandy, who's that exotic singer?
I think that's Bob Marley.
Hey, wow.
Never would have guessed that. That is exotic. Yes.
I love that she got that. Good job, Sandy.
Great job, Sandy. You have a very good ear. We'll put you on hold. Enjoy the film.
That's Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Bunny Wailer, The Wailers, and 1965, covering Dion and the Belmonts there, Dom, before they went into the full, you know, kind of Jamaican reggae style of...
65, yeah?
Yeah, wow. 1965. Bob was 20 then.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, that is an exotic singer. That definitely qualifies. All right. That's the watchword today. That's it. Person, place, or thing event coming off our big trip to Sicily. Florida State, another major shooting. A lot of details still in flux here to know, but people are injured. And it seems to be around the school cafeteria, so we'll keep our eye on that. At about 2:30, we're going to talk with another friend, haven't spoke with in years, Jessica Vaughn over at the Immigration Center. They put out a report nationwide, but I have it for the four counties around Philadelphia. Which county is the worst at rejecting ICE detainers, releasing illegal aliens? The answer would be Montgomery County. 29 times in the time period that we have that we'll talk with her about. So she's going to tell you your county, where you live in the suburbs. Philadelphia, of course, is just ridiculous on this. Although the mayor has been a bit circumspect, meaning not putting on the pom-poms and cheerleading here against the Trump administration, playing it a little bit more behind the scenes, all right? So we'll see what happens with this. But 29 times, they let people go that ICE wanted before ICE could get there, putting people in Montgomery County, Philadelphia, wherever you are, at risk. Major media does not want to cover Rachel Morin's mom. We played you yesterday. It was excruciating hearing what that woman suffered by a guy who was here illegally, had gotten away with it, raped her, and murdered her in the most brutal fashion imaginable. And the bottom line is they don't want you to see it. They don't want America to hear it. They think it's exploitation. It's the truth. And we know this. We have our own criminals. We know what they do. There's a lot of reasons why they get away with it or come to this point. But the bottom line is, these guys that have done this did not have to be here. It wasn't just they got into the country. That's one sin. They were allowed to roam the country and go wild until finally, after a lot of destruction, the worst happens. That's how it happens. Just like this guy that attacked the Shapiro residence. And today, I don't think you'll hear it anywhere else. Dan, if I've been talking about this for a while, we had on the chairman of the board asked to come on yesterday. It was a great interview. It's up on podcast with Ken Lawrence of SEPTA because they're on the ropes. They're looking to get more money. We know the whole story there. But he was meeting today with the special prosecutor. And this is what I don't get. Why in the world has the special prosecutor not prosecuted anything? Now, we ask him to come on. If he comes on and says there's nothing to prosecute, well, fare evasion is a perfect example. Krasner will not prosecute it. We know all the violence that's been on SEPTA, how difficult. So what they did at the state level, we had the legislature on. They said, okay, what can we do here to craft something to get at least some people protected in Philadelphia? And what they did was they said, if it happens within X distance from anything related to SEPTA, the special prosecutor can prosecute if Krasner won't or under charges. It's a big deal. Well, this guy's been in there for a while. We have a primary election. Do you know what would happen, the headlines, if the special prosecutor starts prosecuting just about anything? Krasner is going to go nuts. Are they afraid Krasner will play it to his advantage? Why are we so afraid of Larry Krasner as far as even the police will not endorse anyone? Is this guy just, does he have the secret formula to win in Philadelphia? And you got to face it, you can't beat him. Philadelphia wants this guy. They like all of it. I know the people in the media do, seemingly. Now, nobody in the political world, they don't endorse him. They don't like him. Bob Brady on my show and on Inside Story when I was with him talked about it and all. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have any base of support there. Is it just sick in Philadelphia that people are going to go down this path again? Are they kidding themselves that Philadelphia is essentially a lot safer now? They don't seem to be able to lay a glove on him. Come on, special prosecutor, prosecute somebody. Krasner is not in many of these incidents. The fare evasion with the head guy that came up, I commend him. He's the one that brought it up. And he said, in most of these cases, you have fare evasion. That's where it starts. If people are not going to pay, they don't care about anything. And this goes on continuously. All right, let's go to Joe, Columbus, New Jersey, on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. Hey, Dom, me, like most of us on this program, have listened to that Maryland mother numerous times. And I think without realizing it, or maybe we have realized it, that we know that it hasn't lost its severity and pain and punch with us. And these jerks that went down to El Salvador, they want that to wane from us. And it's not going to happen. And I think that's why CNN doesn't even address it or talk about it. Because I think that they're going to find out that our fire is going to be fueled over this for many years to come.
I agree, Joe. And I'm trying to be in the minds, you know, the time of day that it happened. I mean, what in the world was going on that this is not compelling, not riveting? Even if they have a panel of two people afterward and one of them says they're exploiting this woman. Okay, debate it. Do that. It's compelling when you hear.
The mother's become an advocate. So,
right.
Yeah, you want to take the focus off of her. Shame on you twice as much.
And, Joe, as much as I follow the case, and again, it doesn't matter with me. You know me. It doesn't matter even if it's, quote, painless. You take someone's life. It's the life that's important. Hearing what that woman suffered, the rape,
yeah,
and et cetera, and dragging them over that shows the complete disregard, putting every single one of us at risk. And Montgomery County, with that clown, the Mr. Softy guy, 29 times they lead. We have the guests coming up,
yeah,
in allowing people to get out so that ICE has to try to track them down, maybe with violence or whatever, rather than just holding them till ICE gets there.
But Tom, I mean, just, you know, directing it back to the mother, the fact that we could feel for this woman and just put herself in her place and live that pain and misery says a lot about the difference between both sides of the aisle.
Well, it does. And their side is saying it says something about them, Joe. They're of the high moral order that they feel for this guy in El Salvador. Yet, okay, if they're going to make that case, you have to feel for Ms. Morin first, and you don't.
No. So they don't even have it in their fabric to begin with. It's just a political.
It's political because, again, and politically, what kind of calculation? This is a loser politically. Once we get past feeling and morality, how in the world do you think people are going to side with you on this?
No, it can't. It can't withhold.
So, Joe, what's exotic?
Well, my side question, and it's kind of on the lines of welcoming Dawn back safely from Italy, and it has nothing to do with those cheesy Valentine's candies, but it is the fungi, a truffle.
Yes.
That $1,500 and above a pound. I mean, you know, come on. But if you ever had that in your food, and I'm a foodie, Dom. I take my tomato sauce seriously.
Gravy.
We could talk about
awesome.
That.
Okay. We'll be talking about it, Mulligan's, when we host you for lunch. Rose got all kinds of things planned for you. Yeah.
We will. But it just that's as exotic as you get. I mean, especially when you got to have a pig to stick its snout in the ground to find the stuff.
That's true. The truffle is pretty exotic. I give some credit on that. What's not exotic, and I don't get it, and I don't think you guys are in favor of this either. I'm reading a big piece today of how many people make the journey to Bethlehem. They want the factory to where there is none, no visitor center, no gift shop. They come anyhow to Just Born Quality Confections, the maker of the Peeps. Every year around this time with Easter.
I thought we were talking like real Bethlehem.
No, it's no. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's the Peeps. I don't know what's the number one thing. Probably the Reese's peanut butter cups that'll be in Easter baskets, but
the eggs.
The eggs, too.
Butter eggs, I mean.
But the Peeps are unbelievable what they churn out. Maybe RFK Jr. will go after them.
This is poison. The peeps. Go after them. Let the soda alone.
Well, did you see that one senator want to make it the official state candy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
who
I
was
can't...
the state senator? Do you have that guy's name? I want to see him send him a nasty
Lisa
email.
Lisa Boscola.
Oh, yes. It figures. Yeah. She's involved often in stuff. The official state candy, the peep.
I can't get on that.
You ever try one of the weird flavors like Dr. Pepper or cookies and cream flavored peep?
They have that?
Yeah, they teamed up with Breyers, and they have like a couple different ice cream flavors.
I'd be open to that, but like the original peep, it's not good. Like I thought they were good as kids, and as an adult, I'm like, ugh, these are...
And it's only Easter they surface. We really don't see them.
Oh, yeah, no, this is their holiday.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing.
This is the candy cane of
Imagine
of
going there to want the factory tour of the peeps. The article says that they are there constantly, people. All right.
They have kettle corn flavor.
Yeah.
I'd be open to trying.
Rice Krispie. Sounds good. Goodness.
Wait, it's a marshmallow treat marshmallow?
Yeah, there you go. All right. So don't be buying those peeps. Come on. All right. Get in on the side question. Coming up, we're going to talk with Jessica Vaughn. They looked at, I think, every county in the country. Which counties claim they're not sanctuary? All these tell the Delaware Valley Journal. They're not sanctuary counties, Bucks, Delco, et cetera. But then they act like, particularly Monco, 29 times. They said, we're not holding people for ICE. We won't do it, no matter what. 29 times they let people out that have committed crimes, that are here illegally, and they're not going to help to try to prevent stuff like Lake and Riley, et cetera. This is why it happens. Are people in the suburbs aware of this? Are they on their side on this is the question. Maybe they think, well, no, you shouldn't be holding them. I will talk with Jessica Vaughn about that coming up and get a winner today at 855-839-1210. Let's talk Dr. Bentz. You know, your smile is more than just a first impression. It is a reflection of your overall health. And when it comes to your teeth, you deserve more than just a quick fix. You deserve the expert care you can get from my friend and dentist, Dr. Robert Bentz of the Bentz Dental Group. It's one thing to have the latest technology, and Dr. Bentz has a tremendous. It takes the knowledge and expertise, the confidence that he has in his team to get you the most accurate diagnosis. That's critical from the start. And he really prides himself on that. Very thorough. Then develop the plan with you for your dental and overall health. Now, I've told you about my experiences. Dan and I used to joke, the 3D printer making your teeth. I saw John, I was there the other day, the master artisan that does that. They have it all in one shop for you. And listeners, you can count on the knowledge and the great friendly care of Dr. Bentz and his team. So get the smile that you've always wanted. More importantly, too, get the great dental care that you'll be happy with to check that box and say, I'm on the road to great dental health. It's the Bentz Dental Group. Call them at 610-272-6949. Get that initial appointment. The website, BentzDentalGroup.com, BENTZ, or 610-272-6949. All right, Dom Giordano Show coming to you. We got a winner. Exotic today. We've gotten some great answers. Jessica M. Vaughn, been on my show over the years a lot, director of policy studies at the Center for Immigration Studies. And the only one in the middle of all this that chose to print it here lately, her findings, is the Delaware Valley Journal. They do great work. You'll find stuff there you're not going to find in the local media. Headline, Delaware Valley counties are rejecting ICE detainers releasing illegal aliens while claiming they're not sanctuary. They don't want that put on them, like Bucks, Delco, Chester, Hotbed, and the worst, Montgomery County. Jessica joins us here in Philadelphia. Hey, Jessica, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
So, Jessica, this report then is nationwide, and what's the period of time that we're talking about?
We're talking about the 2023 fiscal year, which started on October 1st, 2022, up until February 6th of this year. So just over 2 years, about 2 1/3 years.
Now, the claim here by these groups, these four counties in Philadelphia, we know about Philadelphia, but the four around here is they tell the Delaware Valley Journal one way or another, why are you bringing this up? We are not sanctuary counties.
Yes, and I've been in discussion with some of these county board members and prison wardens in some of these places. It's usually the politicians, though, the county board members that do not like the label of sanctuary, and I don't blame them because it means that they're releasing criminal aliens back to the street instead of turning them over to ICE. And they know that it's not a popular political position or policy to have, but it is the reality because these jurisdictions can say until, you know, next week, all day, that they are not sanctuaries. But the fact is that according to the ICE records that I received, they have released dozens of criminals back to the streets that ICE was trying to get custody of. And, you know, in some of these counties, it have, you know, there were a number of them just this year. So this is, you know, this is not something outdated that we're talking about. This is what they're doing actively now. They are not cooperating with ICE. And the result is that criminals that ICE is trying to remove get released back into the communities.
So Montgomery County leads, as far as I see in your piece in the Delaware Valley Journal, they say, with 29 during that period, which is a lot. What is it that would meet approval from you or your group, and probably me? What should they be doing? I think their argument is, well, what is it you want us to do here, Jessica? That's what their claim seems to be throughout this.
Well, I think what I would like to see, and what everyone would like to see, is for them to cooperate with ICE just as they would with any other law enforcement agency that's trying to do its job. What ICE is asking them to do is not help them make arrests on the street or enforce the laws against hiring illegal aliens. What ICE is asking them to do is to allow it to take custody of an illegal alien or other deportable non-citizen who has already been arrested for something by the county. And, you know, in these cases, there, you know, a variety of types of cases, assault, drug dealing, DUI is very common. ICE is looking for that small fraction of the illegal population that is causing problems in communities. And so they want a notification from the jail when this person is going to be released. They would like the jail to hold someone if necessary for up to 48 hours, which is allowed by federal law. They would like to have access to the jail to interview inmates. And under federal law, every local government must allow local officers to communicate with federal immigration authorities if they have somebody in the jail that, say, admits to being here illegally or appears to be a transnational gang member or some other situation like that. They have the right under federal law to contact ICE and say, hey, we have this person here you might want to take a look at. Those are the things that will
Mean
you're not.
Yeah, just to put a point in this. So, Jessica, they're not telling ICE this. ICE has to find it on her own, or they just don't give them enough time to get over there. And I've seen in Colorado is one we saw, you may have seen it, where they released them in the courtyard of this, and then there was a violent type of thing that went on trying to subdue him rather than doing it in the jail. So explicitly, do they not give enough notice to ICE? Is that what happens?
In some cases, it's not enough notice, but more often it's just that they get a detainer from ICE, which is a notice and a warrant of arrest or a warrant of removal, and they just ignore it.
Wow.
They let the person go, and they don't tell ICE when the person is being released. So ICE has to send its officers out into the neighborhoods or streets or workplaces or retail places and surveil this person and try to arrest them in public, which is more dangerous for everyone.
And Jessica, again, Delaware Valley Journal covered this. Of course, the Inquirer and others don't. And your group is a very prominent, credible group. I can't imagine people in Montgomery County, it's affluent, educated, that they're made aware of this 29 times, particularly given what we're going through now, that they're aware of it and they would continue to support this. That would really surprise me. I think it's just not an awareness enough of that fact being out there.
Well, it is that, but it's the reason they're not aware is because in some of these situations, the county governments are not being entirely candid with the citizens when they're when they're asked about it, they're like, oh, no, we're not a sanctuary.
Right.
You know, that's old information, or that's not correct, or we've never passed a resolution. That's my favorite one. We've never passed a resolution. It doesn't matter if your policy is to let them go. You know, of course you're not going to pass a resolution because you won't be able to do that.
Yeah, so it's not a resolution, but what is it that the people in charge of the jail are told by these people what to do? Is it written, or they just know you're not going to do it?
Usually they are told what the policy will be. Sometimes it's because the county attorney will tell them that they're not going to, you know, indemnify them, or, you know, that it's illegal or something. And they're misinformed, frankly. They are, you know, getting this from their ACLU newsletter.
I hear you. Jessica, where do we find the Center for Immigration Studies? Where do you go?
CIS.org. And all our work is there. And people can peruse it, and I hope we'll use the information we put out.
Somebody on the cutting edge like you, your sense, what's very telling in this battle that's going on now with the guy in the El Salvadorian jail? What's telling to Jessica Vaughn in this?
It's dismaying and shocking that so many people are sympathetic to this guy and his situation, where somebody who is a, you know, confirmed gang member was probably involved in sex trafficking, belongs to one of the most vicious gangs, so vicious that they've been designated a terrorist organization, that so many people are willing to act like, you know, this is some grave injustice that happened here. And it's shocking that this judge in D.C. is trying to block the Trump administration with orders that exceed his authority. And the same is true of the one in the Salvadoran case as well. They're exceeding their authority. The Supreme Court has told them to stop it, and they continue. And so now the situation is, you know, does the president have to obey illegal judicial orders that are beyond their authority? If anything is creating a constitutional crisis, it's this power grab by these lower court judges.
Absolutely. Jessica, great work as always. Thank you. Thanks for coming on today.
Good to talk to you.
All right, Jessica Vaughn here on Talk Radio 1210. You know, these people in Montgomery County, 29 times. Are we going to roll the dice? Is this like a casino before one of them kills somebody like Lake and Riley or Morin or somebody else, or just continues to run wild? How dangerous it is to apprehend to do that? That's what they're doing in Montgomery County. Of course, the Mr. Softy guy can come on and tell us otherwise. They just say, we're not a sanctuary. Where's that written? That's old news. That's fake news. They don't like that one, no. All right, lightning round next, 855-839-1210. You know, it's said you just don't visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with Sicily. It is exotic. That's where today's question came from. The Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, they all came, left their mark. We are headed there this fall. Ro, you, me, and Talk Radio 1210 listeners, join us, the unparalleled beauty of the Mediterranean, at Sicily, Calabria, this fall. We'll be headed to Europe again with the best tour guiders in Italy and Europe, any place. I'd go with conservative tours. $55.44, including airfare, the dining events alone. I try to emphasize, last time we went to Venice, Rome, The local places that they know, it's all set. They are the best that you're going to find. We'll see bustling Palermo, the Quattro Conte, stunning Monreal, the Palace of the Normans. Call now, 888-733-9494, or go to conservativetours.com. You'll even enjoy the Godfather tour. Visit the locales from the movie. The crown jewel of Sicily has to be Taormina. We'll see you on Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. Sicily is charming. Exotic, without a doubt. Savoca is calling. You have to call, though, 888-733-9494.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, someone, something, some trend, some food that is exotic. The lightning round here. Let's go to Aldana in Doylestown. Aldana, who do you have today?
I have Yul Brynner.
Yeah, tell us why.
His accent, his stature, his just everything about him.
Okay.
Et cetera.
Okay. Joe of Exton. Oh, man, this is pretty exotic. Joe, what's exotic?
Yes. Hello, Don. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
My exotic object is called the Shroud of Turin. And there is speculation that the face on the Shroud of Turin may be that of Leonardo da Vinci himself.
I did not know that. Okay, Joe, thank you. The Shroud of Turin, right on.
Is he suggesting it's just art?
Yeah.
I thought it was Jesus.
Yeah, I thought it was Jesus, too.
Yeah. But, more of a Vale of Manapello guy, anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to, you know, defer to Joe on this, though. Anything like that, right on brand, as usual. The guy's flawless where he goes. The Earl of Tacconi on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Earl, what's yours today?
My answer is the mangosteen. It is a tropical fruit, and in the days of sailing ships and before refrigeration, it was extremely difficult to transport. There's an urban legend that says that Queen Victoria herself offered a reward of 100 pounds sterling to any person who could bring her a fresh mangosteen to eat.
Oh, very nice. The historical approach here, as usual. Bill in Bucks, Talk Radio 1210. Bill, what do you have today?
Well, first I wanted to say that we have a Republican DA out here in Bucks County. And we also have a Republican sheriff, and I don't think that we're really a sanctuary county. Maybe you might find pockets of it, but I don't.
Yeah, well, I investigate the Bucks County more. Their numbers, to your point, were not overwhelming. It's more Montgomery and Delco that we focus in on here. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do have the commissioners, though. So,
well,
yeah, exactly. If I research it, I bet Marseglia and Harv DeGrasse are pro-sanctuary.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But they don't control the district attorney's office. Not at all. Jen Shoren does, and she's a Republican candidate.
Yeah, but I don't know who controls this with ICE, who might direct people. And I know the sheriff is the person you're talking about has a dispute with them, Bill. So I'll put that in abeyance. I'm mainly Montgomery County's clear what's going on.
Right. I got you. All right. My side question is, we'll get there fast, then we'll take it slow. That's where you want to go. Way down to Kokomo.
Kokomo, Indiana, right?
Very nice.
Yeah, Kokomo, Indiana.
There you go. Robert in Ben Salem. Robert, afternoon.
Hey, guys. It's good to talk to you, Henry. Dom. It should be noted real quick that our illustrious mainstream media spent 64 hours talking about this guy that was deported and 0 hours talking about the trial of Lawrence Kilmer. They're evil, Dom.
Yeah, you know, and I thought I followed this, Robert, but it's hard to have the exact details. When you heard the Patty Moore and the mom speak about her daughter and the savagery of that attack, the life is the thing that's important, but it just shows how out of control this is. And again, even politically, you think that Van Hollen would have consoled them. Is that politically something he couldn't do at that point?
You know what? Holland's thinking he's going to be a presidential candidate.
Oh, he is.
By doing something like this,
definitely,
you know?
Definitely.
And it's absolutely disgusting. I'll get right to my side question because I don't want to go off on a tangent on you, but I'm going to go in the animal category. They're having a lot of problems with this in Florida. I'm going to say the Burmese python. And nobody is sadder to see them arrive than them poor alligators down in the Keys. You guys have yourself a great day.
All right. So alligators versus pythons. I got to think about that one.
Yeah, they're very invasive.
Are they? It's like the bamboo thing here. What do you call it? It's not bamboo. Something that's, when you said invasive.
Kudzu, is that what it is? Or?
Yeah, there's some plant.
Yeah, see them. Yeah, they pop up everywhere.
Yeah, kudzu. Yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah. All right. Bill, who's yours, Bill?
Hi, Dom. Mine goes back to the 50s, the Howdy Doody show, and a character actress who played the role of Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, Spring.
All right. I don't remember that one. All right, Dan, lead us off. Who are the contenders?
I really liked Earl's call. I always love the trivia-type answers of the mangosteen. But one that we should take off the board, and I usually don't go for the Trump kind of answers,
right.
But man, is she very exotic, that being Melania Trump from Florence and Drexel Hill.
Yeah, and even though it's in the sphere of Trump, it's not Trump, so I would accept that one, and I think she is. The eyes alone, there's a different type. I was leaning toward that a little. Henry?
I think we're going to differ a little here. I like Stephen Downingtown's answer of Gina Lollobrigida, even though you said she's the...
knockoff.
The knockoff. And I like Joe Nexon's answer of the Shroud of Turin, even though I think he was a little off on it.
I really... Gina Lollobrigida is beautiful. The name is exotic sounding, but Sophia Loren, it's difficult. I'm going to have to lean toward... Melania on this one, even though it's getting in a little into the shrimp sphere. We got to watch that.
Lawrence and Drexel Hill.
All right, so Melania is the winner today. Richie always in the on-deck circle. And tomorrow, we have on the head of Newsmax, we have Dave McCormick. And the side question, we've already agreed, Bad Boys. Martin Lawrence's birthday. Mm-hmm. All-time Bad Boys, ladies, particularly.
Sleep on that one.
Yeah, sleep on that one. Be ready to go tomorrow with it. Follow me on Twitter. At Dom Show 1210, at Dom Show 1210, until tomorrow. And again, the Italian premiere with Trump today was entertaining, if nothing else. Rich next, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.